chapter 5. Once again, we'll read verses 21 through 24, and then verses 35 through verse 43. Mark 5, begin reading with verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. Then verse 35, again between these verses we have the woman with the blood disease coming to Christ and being healed. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, that is several individuals, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered or permitted no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. When he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway or immediately the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, commanded that something should be given her to eat. Again, by way of review, a multitude of people had been waiting for Christ as he crossed the other side of the Sea of Galilee. One of those in that multitude was this ruler of the synagogue. He was a man of, as we've already seen, who had high rank. He was a man of high social position. He certainly was a man well known among the people. He was a man of prestige, a man of power, a man of influence. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all draw attention to this man. We see that this individual had a great burden, had a great need, and that was his 12-year-old daughter. And as we read the accounts, we have seen that it was his only daughter. And we see that she was sick, so sick that she was about to die. So Jairus left his house, however great a distance that was, it wasn't far, and he join this multitude of people. And when Jesus came across, we see this man with a great burden and a great need. He seeks Christ and he comes to Christ with humility. Tells us that he fell at his feet and worshiped. We see that he came with a very burdened heart. As you read his words to Christ, you can hear the burden that he has. He came beseeching Christ, that is, he came as a pleader. He never once, in all of his pleas to Christ, he never once claimed any merit, never once sought anything because of who he was. He just came pleading with Christ, and he came believing that Christ was able to heal his daughter. We see in Mark chapter 5 and Verse 23, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her. Here's his faith, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So we realize that the root of the problem was the disease. She needed healing in order that she could live. And he believed that all Christ had to do was lay his hands upon his daughter, and that she would be healed, that the disease would leave her body, and as a result, she would continue to live. So he believed that Christ was able to do what no one else could do. Having presented his request in verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And we began looking last week that there were some, as they make their way to the house of this ruler, no doubt Christ was going to heal her, and everybody in the crowd was anticipating that. So as word spread, no doubt the crowd would grow. And as they were on their way to the house, there were some apparent, and I put emphasis on the word apparent disruptions. And these disruptions were, the Lord, of course, knew all about them. And these disruptions were there to test the faith of Jairus, not only to test the faith of Jairus, but to strengthen the faith of Jairus. We see he's had enough faith to come to Christ and to plead with Christ, and he believes that Christ is able. So here's a man who has faith, but Christ is going to strengthen his faith. And I believe he does so through these disruptions. And again, the lesson here is that what we consider disruptions, what we consider to be interruptions, there's much to be learned in the so-called disruptions. There's much to be learned in the so-called interruptions. We see that the first interruption, or it certainly slowed their progress to the house, was that multitude that was thronging Jesus. And we looked at that last week. We're not going to go back there, but we see that no doubt in Jairus' mind, there was no time to waste. We've got to get to the house. My daughter's about to die. We've got to hurry. And this crowd, of course, slowed everything down as far as Jairus is concerned. The Lord would do everything in his time. He always does. He always does. That's something we must always remember. And this would be no different here. And it's not because of the delay that the girl died. That's not why she died. The Lord knew that would happen. It was part of the plan. But this disruption was to test the faith of Jairus. And I'm sure Jairus, if he was anything like you and I, was a little bit anxious as the crowd began to grow. And as the crowd began to grow, the progress seemed to get slower and slower. And I'm sure that caused some anxiety in the heart and mind of Jairus. And then, of course, there was this woman who joined this crowd of people that was thronging Jesus, and she had a great need, and she basically brought the whole procession to a stop. We read that she came in behind Jesus Christ, and she was made whole. She believed that if she could but touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. Notice in Luke chapter 8, verse 47. Remember, Jesus said, Who touched me? In verse 45, and when all denied. So when Jesus asked that question, who touched me, people got worried. They thought the Lord was going to rebuke them. And everybody denied, though there were many who were touching him. And then, of course, Peter asked the question, Lord, There are a multitude of people that are touching thee. Why do you ask? Who touched you? And then Jesus said in verse 46, somebody hath touched me. That is, in a way that no one else did. And we've already gone through all that. And in verse 47, again, this woman has come in from behind. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. So she walks around and she is now in front of Jesus Christ. Everything is stopped. And she came before him and she declared unto him before all the people, all that multitude. Keep in mind, in that multitude was this man, Jairus. And I believe that she didn't know it, but the Lord would have her give her testimony and declare everything that happened for the sake of Jairus, to strengthen the faith of Jairus. So she comes and she speaks before all the people for what cause she had touched him. So she came and she told her story, how that for 12 years she had suffered anguish, she had torment, and she had affliction and sorrow and heartache, and for 12 years she was an outcast, and how that she tried many, many different ways to be healed, and she had spent all that she had. She told the whole story, and she said, I came believing that if I could just touch your garment, that I would be whole. I came believing that. And I made my way through this crowd, and I got close enough where I could reach forth and grasp the hem of your garment. And as soon as I did that, immediately, I was made whole. And she said, for 12 years, keep in mind that's how old the daughter of Jairus is. For 12 years, I've suffered. And all I had to do was touch the hem of your garment, and I've been made whole. So Jairus heard all of this, and he also heard Jesus say in verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Jairus could see the joy of this woman. And I'm sure when she told her story and told her story how that for 12 years she had suffered, I'm sure that 12 years phrase stuck in his mind, because that's how old his daughter is. Again, this is all, you can believe what you want to believe, but I believe this is all done for Jairus to strengthen his faith. It was a delay. It was a disruption. It was an interruption. But he could now see the joy that this woman had, all because of Jesus. He could see the jubilation that she had. And he heard Jesus say, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus said that to this woman to encourage her, no doubt. He said this to encourage her. He said this to assure her. But I believe Jesus also said that to encourage Jairus and to assure Jairus. He said it not only for the benefit of the woman, but he said it for the benefit of this ruler of the synagogue as well. So no doubt, by this interruption, again, I'm sure up to this point, Jairus was feeling anguish, and we've got to keep this moving, Lord. We've got to keep this moving. My daughter has no time to spare. We've got to keep moving. We've got to keep moving. And when everything came to a stop, I'm sure in the mind of Jairus, if he's anything like us, his first response is, oh, great. Just great. This is just what I need. But again, it all happened not only for the benefit of this woman, but it certainly happened for the benefit of Jairus as well. And I have no doubt in my mind that the faith of Jairus was bolstered. faith of Jairus was strengthened by what he had just heard, by the testimony of this woman. So we need to learn to look at our apparent interruptions and that which we view as inconvenient, inopportune. Well, why did this have to happen now? There couldn't have been a worse time for this to happen. Well, who's in control of what happens and when it happens? The Lord is. So with that in mind, is it really an inopportune time? I don't think so. So these are all apparent things. And they tire us out, and these interruptions, they annoy us. And they can be very difficult, but we need to view them as opportunities for our faith to be strengthened. And that's what happened here. Then that brings us to the third disruption or testing of the faith of Jairus. There was some news that came from the house of the ruler. Keep in mind, Jairus has just heard the wonderful testimony of this woman. And at this point, he's more sure than he was before that Jesus is going to heal my daughter. I mean, he's getting excited now after he heard this woman's testimony. But then came what seemed to be the greatest disruption of all. Mark 5, verse 35. Thy daughter is dead. Thy daughter is dead. Jairus has gone from being absolutely certain, and with those words, thy daughter is dead. Now there's sorrow. Now there's anguish. And then came some very discouraging words. Why troublest thou the master any further? Jairus, she's dead. It's all over. It's all over. There's no use at this point to pursue the matter any further. It's over. This had to be devastating news to Jairus. This had to be very disheartening to him. And no doubt, again, it would test the faith of Jairus. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And knowing exactly what Jairus needed to do, he would use this disruption to encourage the faith of Jairus. Notice in Mark 5, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, thy daughter is dead, why troublest the master any further? As soon as he heard that, I believe Jesus could see on the face of Jairus all the joy has just left. All the assurance, all the faith is just gone. And Jesus said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Why did he say that? Because at this time, fear gripped the heart of Jairus. He has gone from joy to fear, from strong faith to it's over in just a moment. And Jesus says, be not afraid. Just believe. Just believe. He's saying to Jairus, Jairus, don't let this news frighten you. You just keep on believing that I'm able. Don't let the news frighten you. Don't let this news alarm you. Don't let this news intimidate you. Jairus, you just keep on believing. Jairus, don't let this news make you reluctant. You just keep unbelieving. In spite of this discouraging report, Jairus, you just keep being persuaded that I'm able. You just keep having confidence and assurance that I'm able. The solution to agitation of the heart, the solution to confusion, is what Jesus says here. Believe. Believe. People will say all the time, oh, it's not that simple, Brother Dan. Well, it is. It is that simple. The problem is, I mean, the solution is that simple. Believe. Problem is, with our human nature, it's not so simple to believe. But the solution is simple. Believe. And the Lord causes these things to happen to test our faith, to increase our faith. This is the very words that Jesus spoke to the apostles on the night of the Passover in John 14, verse 1 and John 14, 27. Let not your heart be troubled, believe. And this is exactly what he now said to Jairus. So there are going to be in our life what seems to be interruptions, what seems to be delays, but there are no disruptions in the plan of God. I mean, do you really believe that there's anything that can cause God's plan to come to a halt? I don't think so. All these disruptions are part of the plan. And there's much we can learn from the apparent interruptions and the apparent disruptions. And it is very frustrating when you are going forward and all of a sudden everything comes to a halt. I mean, that's frustrating. But we need to just stop and think about Jairus. I can learn something from this interruption. I can learn something from this disruption. This is God's way of strengthening my faith. And the truth is, Jairus and Jesus and the multitude arrived at the house just when Jesus intended to. There's nothing that can stop his intentions. He arrived there just when he intended to. So we need to look at the so-called interruptions, and I speak this to myself more than anybody here. We need to look at the so-called interruptions and disruptions as opportunities to strengthen. To strengthen our faith. And we see this lesson with Jairus. Next week we'll see what happens when they do arrive at the house of this ruler. Let's look to the Lord, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father.